Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. This is your buddy, Ryan. I just wanted to let you know, I'd give you a little heads up at the top before we get into the interview with Misty Brown, which is incredible, and it's deeply personal, and it's deeply insightful. It's wonderful. I do want to let you know that there are some very personal things that are discussed in the history of Misty's life that are traumatic when it comes to abuse and sexual assault. So I want to let you know at the beginning, just in case you're easily triggered, I don't want you to be surprised by such a thing. This is such a deeply personal and intimate and vulnerable conversation. So thanks again to Misty for sharing. I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation. So without further ado, let's get into this wonderful, wonderful discussion.
Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hello, and thank you everyone for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy Ryan Singer. I am very excited in one of the most relaxed ways possible to be bringing you another experience today with Misty Brown. Misty, we just did a sound bath, or how would you describe the experience we just had, or I just had?
Well, I guess it's different for everyone, but I typically call it a cosmic experience. Sound bath just doesn't really cut it.
No, it really doesn't. And thank you, by the way, for the cosmic experience and also for doing the podcast. We are at the magical headquarters, the new magical headquarters 2.0. And this place is just, I mean, I was headed over here for the interview and for the cosmic experience. And then when I got close and I was on the street, I immediately knew which house it was.
Because of the pink light.
And also there's like the, There are some symbols outside that you can kind of pick up on, you know, with the chime, like the triangle thing that you've got out there too. Mm-hmm. It's not like the house is painted like cosmic purple or something, but it's definitely like, oh, this is the house. You can definitely tell from the neighbors, right, which house you're going into for a sound bath or for a cosmic experience or for energy healing, et cetera. And first of all, I got to say that I've never had a session like that before. Lots of things were happening. I did really love the idea of setting an intention beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And how that plays out as the session goes on. And, you know, without having to just be mindful of it, like in the front of your mind the whole time, it could just kind of pops back in different ways, and then you realize like, oh yes, this is that. Mm-hmm. This is another version of that. I mean, I did everything from seeing my ethereal body as myself as an ethereal body of light that expanded into the vastness of the universe, to seeing myself as like a cosmic infant that was being nurtured, to seeing myself as the energy waves, almost like the ocean, but energetically, being just part of the fabric of the energetic waves of the universe, and then different things happening to like my color when I was part of that, to, you know, being in like a field of golden grass. And then I don't know what instrument it was. I start seeing myself in this field. And then immediately one of the tools, the instruments, sounded like an elephant.
Oh, okay. I know the one.
You know the one.
It's like a cosmic whale. It's like.
Yes. So I am in what feels like the Sahara Desert to some degree.
Okay.
Right? Visually, that's what I feel like. I am where I am. Everything's golden, you know, whether it's sand or maybe a little bit of grass here and there and sporadic trees. And then it's just an elephant shows up.
Like, you didn't see that one coming.
No, but it felt like, oh yeah, I'm in the desert. I'm in like a cosmic desert. Of course an elephant just blasts. And it just kind of runs by. And then another one comes running by. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm on like a cosmic safari right now. This is amazing. It was really, really cool. Now let's get to maybe some of the fundamentals here, some of the basics for people. Because we're using, there's all kinds of things happening in there, in the magical room.
That's why you have a blindfold on, so you can't see me frantically like running around doing everything.
Well, I really felt like, is there like a button on a phone that she pushed, because it didn't seem like you should have been able to have so many different things happening simultaneously. It was, you know, I spent a few seconds at one point being like, how is this possible? But then I was like, okay, just be in the moment. Stop.
Right. I know I do that too. Like, how stop are they dissecting. Doing that?
So let's talk about maybe some of the, let's talk about how it started.
Okay.
Okay. So let's figure out, if we can, or for me anyway, you already know, the journey that starts happening for you when you decide to start doing this work.
I'm not really sure what you're asking me specifically.
Yeah, I'm still kind of floating around in space. Let me ask it this way. What were the first tools and or instruments that you found yourself in possession of?
And I listened to frequencies until I got into a space where I was just kind of, you know, out there, and then I could relax. And I ended up getting off Ambien after 5 years of being addicted to it, and I learned how to sleep again. So it was the metal Tibetan bowls that I got first, and ended up getting a whole set of those. And then of course I had to like get the crystal bowls next, and it just becomes an addiction. It's like, you know, getting a tattoo. They say you can't just get one. So basically now anything that makes a sound, I want it. Like, oh yeah, what can I do with that?
It's funny, like the it really does look like an orchestra in there. And that's interesting about the insomnia. You know, I find myself struggling to, you know, fall asleep when I want to go to sleep. And it's been that way for years. And I've convinced myself, just because I've read it and heard it said other places, that, you know, when you travel a bunch and you're always sleeping in new places, it's always very difficult to fall asleep, and you never have a pattern, which is healthy for you to have a pattern, blah blah blah. So I was just like, okay, I guess this is just the life I've chosen, and this is part of it, right? But it is interesting to know that that is something you can do and work on for yourself. I didn't know that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because what's happening is where you're working with frequencies, and there's a process called entrainment, and that's just a science word that means when two frequencies align. So if we're in fight or flight or in stress, your energy and your frequency is all, you know, up there, and you have all that cortisol pumping in your body and all those stress hormones. And so what's happening is when your brain waves and frequencies come in contact with the frequencies of the instruments, then they entrain. So they come together and your brainwave becomes at that level. So it's taking you to like the beta and theta state of rest, like when you're in meditation and deep sleep. So there's a lot of science. It's not just woo. Like that's kind of my goal, is to demystify this practice.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the feelings you have during a session, and when I think it's up to the individual, surely, but, and depending on what you may be dealing with or feeling at the time, different bowls hit differently at different times, I'm sure, with the vibrations. But there was a couple where I was just like, oh, Mamma Mia, like this.
Oh yeah, this. And they can get each other going too. Like they start resonating off of each other, and then all of a sudden they're just making sounds by themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting because before coming in today, I hadn't thought about it, but when you asked me, like, when's the last time you had work done, energy work, and it'd been a minute for me, for sure. And I was like, oh, I'm probably all jammed up. And then I realized as I was laying down on the table that, like, oh, I'm not jammed up as much as I am totally kind of out of whack, out of balance, out of alignment,
mm-hmm.
right? And I could feel it physically right when we first started. And I made a mental note to myself. I was like, I'm going to make a mental note of this, that I feel lopsided laying on the table, which is, I don't know if people understand what that means, but I felt lopsided. And I almost felt like a pancake that was cooked on an uneven skillet.
Okay.
Right? Like part of me is up on the edge.
Yeah.
And so, and as we went and as the session progressed, I felt less and less lopsided. Like, I mean, at one point, like when I first laid down, I was like, am I going to fall off this table? But then like, and then it wasn't until I took the mask off at the end and was coming back into my body that I realized like, no, I'm like lying right down the middle of this table. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, my right leg isn't like falling off the table. Like, but when I was in underneath, when we first started, I felt like I was getting pushed off the table by something, like by myself. So it was really, really interesting how and I've always had a hard time, or I've always had difficulty in the past truly relaxing. That's always been, I don't know why. Like, I'll be like, someone will say relax, and I'll be like, okay, I'm relaxed. And then they'll be like, no, look at your shoulders, please relax more. And I'll be like, oh, okay, you got me.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, no, still. And I'm like, what do you mean? No, this is me as relaxed as I get. And they're like, no, still. But then I feel at one point there was a moment, maybe about halfway through, where I don't know what it was specifically. I think it was the tuning forks and things where I was like, oh, this is the first time I've been truly relaxed in a couple years.
Wow.
It felt like.
That's amazing.
So it was very nice. I have never experienced the tuning bowls on my body.
Yeah, that's not done very often.
Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been to the Integratron and, you know, and I've had some other singing bowl type situations, but I've never experienced anything like this. Can you walk me through what it is I'm talking about here?
Walk you through like what the experience is like?
Yeah, what the experience is, and like, and maybe where it comes from, or what the idea is behind it, and what it should be doing, and or hopefully what it does and will do for us.
Okay. Well, I use this as an integrated type of therapy. And so it's not just sound healing, it's a little bit of everything. So I use energy work, somatic therapy, especially for people that have trauma that's stuck in their bodies. I do scream therapy with the gongs, like imagine that. So it's all kind of mushed together. But the whole purpose is to create a safe space for people to be able to be vulnerable, to feel safe, to relax. Because like you said, it's really hard to get into that space if you're going all day. And, you know, if you're a creative person, then your brain never shuts off. Like, I get that. And so it's just a place, you know, that's why it looks like this and smells like this and feels like that. So that people can just walk in and say, okay, I can exhale. And then create an experience. And it's so I go into it intuitively. It's different for everyone. I usually ask a person, like, what do you want to get out of this? How can I, make this experience, customizable and personable for you? But really, it's just a matter of going in there and listening to them and then listening to my own intuition and kind of going from there. And so I really don't have a set. I just kind of intuit what sounds that I need to make, and depending on where I'm feeling in your body, where that energy is blocked, I just kind of take it from there.
That's interesting. Now, was it your intuition that told you, like, okay, I need to start putting these bowls on people?
Yes.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Well, I mean, they're made for that. Bowls are made for that kind of therapy. So these are like master grade bowls that are meant to go on your body. But when I started doing it to myself, I'm like, I need all of them and I need to put them everywhere. Like, if I could walk around with those things on me, I would.
It's really funny. I've never experienced something like that. It was interesting. It got to the point where when we finished the bowls on the body part, I felt like I no longer had a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm no longer a physical being.
That's when I know I've done my job.
Right. And, and then I think it was before that, or maybe it was out. I don't remember the timeline. But when the gongs came in, and I mean, it's such an overwhelming, but not in a bad way, tone and sensory experience that the only thing I could imagine was like the tidal wave of everything good and holy from the universe coming in and like basically and just washing away anything that mm-hmm. does not belong there, right? Like almost like this grand cleanse, because it's just like, wow, it just comes in and you're just like, okay, nothing's there's nothing left.
Yeah, you can't hold on to anything when those things start.
It is really, really amazing. That feeling and that sound in that moment, in that setting. And if people who are listening to this have never experienced that, it is my hope that you truly do, at some point. So you said you've been doing this. Did you say you've been doing this for 28 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So for 28 years, you've been doing this. And did you grow up around here in Ohio?
I did. I'm from Dayton and I went to Northmont, and I've left Ohio, but it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. Like, you just find your way back here. I don't know how. I've tried to leave, but my family's here and my kids were here. And
well, that makes sense. And so what led you down the path of entering the energetic healing world?
I think it's because I needed it. You know, when you talk to people that do this work, it's usually because of trauma. And so I was about 21 when I went away to college and I ended up getting raped and dropped out of school. And I would say that was probably my very first most traumatic experience. And it led me down a really dark path. I really didn't have any kind of faith at that time of my life. I didn't really believe in God, or the God that I was shown. It was like, I didn't want to be friends with him at all. So I was just kind of left to my own devices. I went down the path of drugs and alcohol, and I was a little raver goth girl. So I went really dark. And so I'd say about a couple years of that, I met somebody who was into this. He was like a meditation teacher and yoga and all of that. And I went to one of his classes and I was like, whoa, this is something I need to pay attention to. And something profound occurred to me, and it was through, like, he was doing some kind of forgiveness ritual with me that had to do with the person that raped me. And he took me through this whole forgiveness ritual, and I realized that if I was the one that was creating that darkness in my life, that hate, that shame, all of the stuff that comes with that, then that means that I could change it. And that was the most profound thought that I've ever had. You know, I realized that I was in control much more than I thought I was. And if I could experience that darkness, that also meant that I could change it. So I just dove right in and I started doing meditation and just reading everything that I could and experimenting. I'd always kind of been into the, you know, supernatural things since I was little. I cut my teeth on Stephen King when I was like 7. My grandparents, I have to thank them for that. But it just felt right. And then I decided that I wanted to do something with that pain and that experience. So I started helping out other people, victim witness. I started hooking up with them and going to the emergency rooms and sitting with people and victims after they'd had an experience and, you know, rape or violence. And I realized that that was a place that I can actually transmute that pain and that experience and do something good, because it gives you a compassion that, and an understanding that that most people don't have.
Well, I mean, thank you for sharing that. That's, you know, it's one of those stories that you know, it's like you wish you didn't have to hear that kind of story, like, or like that it wasn't true or that it didn't happen to the person. And then you also see how that person has, like you said, transmuted all of this experience into something that can just be, it's almost mind-blowing, you know, to be able to take something that was so dark in one's life and create so much light from it. It's really fucking cool. It's really remarkable. So, I mean, wow, that's really amazing. The victim witness work has to be, well, I mean, for those of us that are uninitiated in it, I mean, that's heavy work.
Oh, it's intense. You know, you're being with complete strangers in the most vulnerable, most horrific time of their lives. And so you have to know how to be present. You have to know how to just provide a safe space, you know, because you never know what they're going to need. Some people just need you to sit with them. Some people just need you to hold their hands. Some people just need to be seen. And so it felt like that was a way that I could do something with the pain that I experienced.
I'm curious if you found through that work that it's almost easier for people to share that moment with a stranger than it is someone who's close to them. Might sound like a weird question, but for some reason I was like, that popped into my head as you were describing it.
Totally true. I actually had a few friends, very close friends of mine, that just completely wigged out about it. Like this guy I dated for 4 years wouldn't talk to me anymore because he was just like, didn't know how to respond. He was angry. He just couldn't handle it. And so, yeah, it makes people very uncomfortable, and, you know, especially friends and family, because it's a helpless thing and they want to do something and they can't.
Yeah. And it's, it does, you know, just from having friends, you know, and as a man, it's like, oh man, we've just been like in the way we are raised to be like, this is what it means to be a man. And this is how you should respond to hearing things about, you know, women. And, you know, and I'd been on the planet for at least a couple of decades before I learned the lesson of, they don't want, you know, like, whether it's someone very close to you, they don't want you to be like, I'm going to go do something about this because you just told me about this SOB who needs something done to them. That's not the response. You know, that it's, they just want you to listen.
Right. And you don't need it fixed.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not my job to do that. It's not my job to fix. It's my job to, like you said, be present there for the person who's sharing something deeply vulnerable. And it, you know, I think men are not, or at least they weren't. I mean, as being a 46-year-old guy, I was never taught that, you know, as a kid growing mm-hmm. up, like, you know, this is what it means to be a man, you know, being present and listening and not trying to fix everything.
Yeah.
It was actually quite the opposite. Like, yes. Oh, you're probably never going to be around. You fix everything. And blah, blah, blah. That's where your value is. So, yeah, that's such, you know, is that something that like every hospital or, you know, I don't even know if Urgent Cares, but do they all have, I'm guessing they all have like a victim witness program in place of some kind, right?
I believe now that that is pretty protocol. But when that happened to me, I didn't have anyone. It was pretty much just me and the police and the hospital staff. And, you know, so it's nice to have like the person in between that can be the mediator between all of the people that you have to repeat your story to. And like, you know, it's not a fun experience. You just, your entire dignity just got wiped away. And now you're getting poked and prodded and having to repeat everything that just happened to you. And it's like re-traumatizing.
Yeah. And not only repeating it, but I imagine being asked questions in a way that are trying to see if you got your story straight, so to speak, or if you're going to change your story, mm-hmm. or, well, how, well, were you drunk? You know, as if that's mm-hmm. a reason
right.
for anything, or were you on drugs, as if that's a reason to, you know, yeah, that just sounds like, you know, and like I said, as a man, I've never had to be in that situation where, you know, I've even felt like when I'm walking, like when I walk around the streets at night, I'm not worried. That's not something that pops into my mind. Like, oh, is someone going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is fascinating how one who experiences, you know, deep trauma also has such insight into the understanding of others who experience something similar, and also arms themselves, so to speak, with healing tools and practices and techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the energy work and like the somatic healing or somatic therapy, and that to me is a fascinating and a really amazing aspect of, you know, the spiritual world and the world of spirituality and what some people would classify as woo-woo and mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And I mean, if they sat down and actually listened to what it was all about or a conversation like we're having now, I think that would change a lot of people's minds who are like that hardcore skeptic and like, I need science, I need peer-reviewed journals, and I need all of this stuff, or everything that's not in there is just bullshit.
Right.
And has no value, when in fact it has incredibly deep value, like
exactly.
what we're talking about here.
Yeah, my whole purpose with the work that I do is to empower people. A lot of people in this work, they create dependence, and that really pisses me off. They give themselves this elevated title, and as teacher, healer, like I don't even like to call myself sound healer. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a resource. And so when people come here, I give them tools that they can use themselves so they don't have to come back, so they don't have to rely on me or anything outside of themselves. So empowerment is like, that is what I live for, is to show people what their gifts are and their strengths, despite all of the shit and garbage that they're dealing with and that's happened, that there is something in them that's sacred, that's valuable, that's worthy.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool. Let's take a quick break right now.
Okay.
And then we're going to have some commercials pop in. And just as a reminder, you can go to patreon.com/Ryan Singer if you don't want to hear commercials. $3 a month gets you every episode ad-free. You have ad-free experiences. So pop on over there and do that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So I do love talking about the value and the, I guess it's not even like a specific value to me. When it comes to energy healing and all the different types of energetic healing a person can do, there, I feel like it, and what I mean by it's not specific value, I feel like it could be a million different things. Anything that a person is going through in life, this can be used in mm-hmm. a way, right?
Absolutely.
We were talking about, you asked me, like, was there any specific spots on your body that you felt different or blockages, or I felt my knees and my feet specifically, mm-hmm. and I think it's because of all the driving I've done over the last 15 years or so, and my throat. I've had trouble with my throat lately, probably the last maybe year and a half.
Okay.
And there was, you know, whether it's just like always sore, my voice is always kind of ready to leave if I talk too much, which happens a lot.
I imagine so.
But you seem to pick up on that during the session. Now, which leads me to my question. When you are doing a session, how are you sensing the area that you might realize someone who's in here having the work done is needing the most potentially?
Well, I'm about to go woo on ya. I'm sure there is science to back this up, but I just feel things. I am one of those people that can put my hands on someone and know where they're blocked or how they're feeling, or I can walk into a room and just like, I just know something's going on. So I don't know how to explain that exactly, but I feel it in my body like it's happening to me. And so it can be very uncomfortable sometimes. I've had to run out of the room a few times because I thought I was going to get sick.
Oh, wow.
I was working with somebody who had cancer, and it just was like overwhelming nausea and dizziness, and like I couldn't breathe and I got really hot. So yeah, I just feel it.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, kind of like advanced empath stuff. Being able to, you know, mirror what someone is feeling physically in their body. And when you're working with energy so much.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time and I've done a lot of work. I mean, I'm constantly doing work on myself. And the more that I can clear myself out, the more that I'm an open channel. And it's really cool how it happens, because it's like, oh, I just went through a really big thing. I just released a lot of energy, or, you know, got healed some trauma. And then it's like, boom, here's this thing. I didn't know I could do that. Or that's really weird. So there's this one story I love to tell. And it was the first time that another person from the other side came through.
Oh, okay.
And this was probably like 3 years ago, and I was working on this lady I've never met before. I'm doing the energy work and the sound, and I just kept hearing, like, you know, the voice in my head saying, Herbert, I'm Herbert. I'm like, what? Am I making this up? Like, am I supposed to say this? And, you know, I used to get things a lot where I would hear something and I'm like, I'm not going to say that. They're going to think I'm crazy, or what if I'm wrong? Or, you know, like, you just really doubt yourself. So the whole time I'm just like, I'm making that up, you know. But I'm like, how could I make up Herbert? That's really random and a strange name. So finally, at the end of the session, I got the balls to just say, so when I was working on you, someone named Herbert came through. And I like held my breath and I'm like, oh God, please don't let me be wrong. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's my dad. And he, you know, he's been dead. And I gave her a really amazing message that was extremely relevant to her. And I'm like, okay, this is really cool.
That is really cool.
It was really cool. Like, I don't know. I still get amazed by things like that every time that I do it. And so I learn how to trust the things that come through. And sometimes I still think, oh God, am I going to say that? You know, because they can be pretty intimate things that, like, oh, so tell me about this miscarriage that you just had, or, you know, like... But I believe that if it comes through, it's meant to, and that I'm supposed to say it, and it's supposed to be put out there somehow. And it always is. It always is a very healing experience.
It's amazing how difficult it can be to trust ourselves.
Yeah. For real. Even though I've been doing this for so long, like, I still have that imposter syndrome sometimes. Like, well, who are you to be doing this? What makes you think you know this?
Yeah, I 100% understand that feeling in so many different ways, whether it's performance or anything, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I wish I knew where it came from. Like, in general, the imposter syndrome sensation and feeling. And I think if we could, reverse engineer, or if we could eradicate the imposter syndrome feeling that every one of us, I remember being fascinated as a kid watching late night TV shows, and like my favorite actors or comedians or whoever would be on the couch talking to whoever it was. And that conversation would come up, and I'd be surprised by like one of the biggest movie stars in the world sitting there on live TV talking about how they feel like any moment now the world's going to say, this was a big joke. None of us think you're any good, right?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I definitely understand that. It's almost like it reminds me of the Truman Show a little bit, where, you know, he's like, wait, this whole thing's been a what? You know?
Right.
Like a big prank pulled on me. But that's a little more, I guess that's imposter syndrome, you know, sprinkling a lot of paranoia on top of it. But it is weird. Like, what are some of the ways that you found yourself hurdling these obstacles when it came to trusting yourself?
I'm getting really honest with myself. That was the hardest thing, I think. You know, we like to hide from ourselves. And so really looking at the trauma that I've experienced and how it's impacted me and how it's impacted how I see myself and other people, and just committing to doing the hard work. I can't do this work if I'm not doing it. I'd be a hypocrite. And so that's been I've really hit it hard, especially the last 4 or 5 years. I'm just trying to plow through some of this mess that I've created inside of me, you know, like there's a lot in there. I mean, when you think that you've got it taken care of, and it's like, oh, there's that again. There's another layer of that.
Or a whole new door opens and you're like, wait, where did all this shit come from? Yeah. Who's been storing this in here?
Exactly. So it really does come. I think the imposter syndrome is our trauma, our past trauma, our old stories and beliefs that get created because of trauma. You know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not valuable enough. I don't have anything good to say.
Yeah, there seems to be like a real transition from, you know, that real filled with optimism and, you know, no real boundaries about like the imagination and things like that as being a child, being a very young child. And then to, you know, flash forward and look at the world run by adults. And, you know, some of them sneak through. Some of these childly, you know, these adults who hold on to their childliness, and, you know, which is a really good thing, or they reconnect with it, right? And I know I hear a lot, specifically from Sarah Goff, who is a shamanic Reiki healer that I've seen in the past. It's about connecting with your inner child is, you know, mm-hmm. a big theme. And I'm curious, when it comes to the work that you've been doing for 28 years, if you've seen any, I guess, changing of patterns, or any, has the narrative of the work or what people are coming in general, you don't need to get into specific people's stories, obviously, but have you noticed sea changes or big shifts, specifically maybe even in the last 5 to 7 years, and especially with the pandemic when people were ditching and going inside and ditching the outside stuff? Have you seen big changes?
Oh, huge. When we have big trauma in the world, like COVID and, you know, all the race and injustice and everything, people are waking up and they're saying, this is not working anymore. There's some bullshit going on. And they're asking questions. You know, they're looking outside of the norm and looking within. And, you know, a lot of people are really pissed off, and they come to me really pissed off and confused, but they know that there's something else. And so that makes me really excited, because I can start helping them to explore their inner worlds, And look at some of those old beliefs that got them to that space. You know, you look at the world right now and it looks like a big old mess. And in a way it is, but it's also the most glorious time to be alive because people are waking up and paradigms are shifting and things are crumbling and it's beautiful. And so I think that people that do this kind of work and in the helping profession and therapy, like, this is our time to shine. It's time to start looking at different modalities, start moving away from that structured, one-way Western idea of what medicine and mental health should look like. And people are saying, okay, there's other ways, ways that are ancient and old, and this feels right to me. So I get to, you know, kind of offer that and help people explore those various things that might interest them and, you know, offer them different alternatives.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing to think about. And I definitely sync up with you on the mindset of, like, you look at the world and it can look like a total mess, but it also is the best time, I think, mm-hmm. in the history of history to be alive. And when old systems and big things crumble, it's frightening. And because they've been our security blanket, these old systems and paradigms have been our whether or not they were even just, to a certain degree, they were still our security blanket. Like, well, this is what we know, so I feel comfortable with that, mm-hmm. even though I don't like it, right? That is really fascinating to think about the, you know, the people who are seeking out energy healing for the anger, right, as well, as mm-hmm. opposed to just, oh, I, you know, I'm hurt, or, but I guess anger comes from hurt as well. But, mm-hmm. you know, usually when I think about, like, oh, do I, those moments where I'm like, oh, I need some healing, I need some energy healing, those are usually moments when I'm like hurting.
Yeah.
Or whether it's a breakup or whether it's something like that or a huge disappointment or not a betrayal. It sounds like such a big word, that betrayal. So not a word that I think I've ever really used in my own life. Like, I was betrayed. Like, I don't know if I've ever said that I've been betrayed. But so I think of it in those ways. But kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, like, there's no specific value. I mean, it could be. It doesn't have to just be when you're hurt. It could be mm-hmm. when you're angry, or physically when you're achy, or you're, you know, stiff, or you're out of whack or unbalanced. And so that is really something fun for me to think about, you know, widening my perspective,
mm-hmm.
and just realizing, like, oh, I should get energy healing anytime, anything.
Right. It's very multifaceted. You know, we're multidimensional creatures. And so energy work and sound healing and all that touches on every aspect of our humanity. And, you know, it's, what I really want to get across to people is that it's not all love and light. Like, I call those people fake awakes. I think Jessa Reed actually said that. But to me, it's about, you know, romancing our shadow and being friends with the shadow self and understanding what's in our subconscious and those things that we demonize and that scare us, and being able to relate to them in a different way, in a more compassionate, accepting, loving way. And that's when we heal, is when we can look at those scary monsters and realize, that's not a scary monster, that's just me. That's just a part of me that got broken, that just needs love, that needs attention.
Yeah, that is, you know, one of those tried and true things of, oh, you're about this love life for real? Like, oh, you for real about this life of loving everyone? Well, then what about, you know, like, you know, you see, and we don't have to name names. People probably just have their own names that they can pop into their mind. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, you think about these people in the world who just are the, quote unquote, the worst people alive, right? And it's like, well, are we going to be about that love life, or are we going to be about, you know, I love everybody except this asshole over here. You know? It's like, well, that's not really how it works, is mm-hmm. it? And I guess to truly, the thing that really bothered, I don't know when you heard this, but I heard this very, I remember hearing it in grade school. that if something someone is doing really annoys you, the chances are it's something that you do.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I remember the first time I heard it, I was probably like 12 years old, thinking to myself, that's not, you know, like, I don't pick my nose and eat my boogers in front of people or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
But, and then I get home and I think, but do I pick my nose? You know, or it's like, who hasn't picked their nose? But, and then as I got a little bit older, I realized like, oh, this is probably so true, this saying. And then it's 100% true if you lean into the belief that we all are connected to one another in a way that's so much more clear and obvious than we're willing to accept, even though we have these different physical bodies.
Yeah, I think that we can really serve as mirrors to one another if we allow it, if we can be vulnerable and we can be willing to see ourselves, you know, the way that we really are. Through another person's eyes, which can be brutal and terrifying. But I believe that that is what real relationships are meant to be. Not just romantic, but friendships and human connection. We're here just to support each other, but also to be mirrors. And yeah, to reflect to each other really what we need to heal. You know, when you think about the most valuable, important relationships in your life, it's usually you can identify what that thing is that they came into your life to show you, right? Especially the people that you really don't like. Like you can start looking at it a different way. Yeah, they may piss you off on a daily basis, but what's really happening? Why are you so pissed off? What are they showing you about yourself that might need to shift a little bit?
Yeah. I had this wonderful image of the world when you said that, you know, if we can all mirror each other, what a gift. It's like a painting or it's a visual image where if everyone is a mirror, that means that we don't see any individual, yet we see everyone all at the same time. We wow. see everyone, but we don't see anyone. If that, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like if everybody is a mirror, which is just a really cool visual in my mind about how the world could be. Oh man, Edmund, I think about like, okay, I need to go to the store and buy some Windex.
No kidding.
Because my mirror is, it's got some toothpaste splatter on it to say the least at the moment, but needs to get cleaned up.
Yeah, that's what friends are for, right? Show you what shit needs to be cleaned up.
Oh, that's really funny. Now, when... I mean, I don't know how. I mean, like, how many sessions can you do in a day? I mean, because it's not easy work.
I usually just do one a day, but when I do big events like Love Shack, I do it.
Yeah,
like,
we got to talk about that, by okay. the way, before I forget.
Yeah, yeah, I do it like 5 hours, and it's crazy. It's like I'm running off pure adrenaline, and at the time, I'm just like pretty much out of my body when you're doing it for that long. But then at the end, you're just like, oh, it's just, it's crazy.
Do you sleep for like 3 days afterward?
I don't know. I feel it's one of those weird things where you're like, you know, like you drank a whole pot of coffee, but you're tired, but you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do have to pace myself. But if, you know, if you are channeling energetic, universal energetic energy, that didn't make sense, but you know what I mean, then really you shouldn't be depleted. But at that point, it's just a matter of I've been standing on my feet for 5 hours and I need to sit down.
Yeah, I mean, there is a, you know, you could have the, I mean, you could be, this is a weird analogy, but you could be the best, like, baseball glove in the world catching the universal fastball all day long. But sooner or later, the leather needs to, take a break and get oiled up and mm-hmm. he needs to relax, or, you know, it does. I mean, it makes sense that you would, the physical body part of this mm-hmm. is also a component. The tool also needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, definitely.
In these situations.
Yeah. So by day I do therapy and I work in recovery with addicts, and it's a machine. It's a money machine. And I usually see like 5 to 7 clients in a day and like do a 4-hour group. And so I identify with that part because, like, I can get really drained just going for that long, one after the other after the other.
Wow. I mean, it's, I mean, you've dedicated your life to service, and it's very admirable. Tell me about Love Shack a little bit.
Ah, okay. Love Shack is a really cool event that I got inspired to do in 2019 after the Dayton tornadoes happened. And I was pretty close to some of the destruction, and I felt that sucker going over my house. Like, I was as scared as I've been in a while, you know? And then the way that just it touched me, seeing all of that destruction, and like I felt it inside of me, it was horrible. And so I just felt like I needed to do something. And I saw everybody around me, you know, passing out water and food and setting up in parking lots, you know, really coming together as a community. And so I was in bed. It's where I get all my ideas at like 4 a.m. And it came to me, and it was almost like I was being told, you know, like I got this download, and they even said, call it Love Shack. I'm like, okay. So I got a few pop-up tents and put them up in the areas of destruction, and called a few friends. And in the beginning, it was super small. There was like me doing energy work and a massage therapist doing chair massage. And then we had a little art table set up, and we were just talking to people and handing out free hugs and listening and just creating that safe space. And then word got out, and we got picked up by a church that was in Northridge because they got hit really hard. It was the Heavy Metal Church of Christ, and they invited us in. We did a big old thing in their gym. They did not want us to come back, however, because they thought we were devil worshipers.
They thought you were the Heavy Metal Church
I know,
of Christ,
right?
Thought you were devil worshipers.
I know. We were waving crystals around, and there were some tarot readers, and they were just like, no, you're not coming back.
It's so on brand, but unfortunately for them. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. So we got picked up by another Dayton business, and they invited us in to use their space on a monthly basis. So it became a monthly thing. And then it got really big, and then COVID happened, and then everything, the world just stopped. So it was, I think it was like 2 years that Love Shack just didn't happen. And I'm like, we've got to have this back. Like, we need this more than ever right now. And I don't even think I explained what it is yet, but it became, I guess, a free community healing day. And the purpose is to offer free services to people in the community. And we have between 20 to 40 volunteers who offer anything from massage, Reiki energy work, reflexology, tarot. I have counselors there. I've had pet therapists. Just community resources where people can come and experience all the different healing modalities and get educated. So my goal is to demystify these practices and show them how they can be used every day and how they can be used to empower. And then there's also the art and performance piece. So I'm an artist, and that's all part of the healing for me. And so we have all day long, there's performers, there's drummers, dancers, belly dancers, musicians, people entertaining. There's art tables set up, people doing projects. And it's just the most amazing, beautiful experience. People come there to connect and to learn and just have fun and play. And so when I decided to bring it back out of the grave, I decided to hook up with the arcade in Dayton. And I'm like, I'm going to go big. And so I hooked up with them in CultureWorks and pitched my idea, and they were all about it. So we've held Love Shack there the last 3 times. We're doing it every 3 months now. The next one's going to be in February at the PNC Arts Annex, which is downtown across from the Schuster Center.
Wow.
So, cool. Yeah, every time it gets cooler and bigger, and it's just amazing.
Well, congrats. I mean, that does sound amazing. Hopefully I'll be around for one of them next year.
Yeah, I would love for you to experience that.
That'd be really rad.
What is the coolest thing about it is that it's not catering to the spiritual community. I'm really trying to cater to everyone, especially at-risk populations. And people are coming in there who've never had anything like that before. And they're just like, wow. What is this? This is amazing. This feels so good. And I'm seeing all of these people connecting and really just finding and being empowered by things, and it's so I'm just really happy to be able to have this group of people, because it's I can't take credit. Like, it was my vision, but it wouldn't happen if it weren't for all of these amazing creative people that are a part of my life. So I love you. Thank you.
That's really cool stuff. And I mean, I think a lot of us have had these like different size lightning strikes in our mind, right? Where we're like, oh, you know, and then we never follow up on them, mm-hmm. and or we never do anything with them. And, you know, and sometimes you can see some people, it is unfortunate sometimes, like if someone like just has a lot of lightning strikes and never does anything about it, then they're the person who's always like, oh, they'll see something on TV or something else. They'll be like, I had that idea like 2 years ago. It's like, well, why didn't you do it? They did it. They also had that idea, mm-hmm. you know, and they didn't steal it from you. They weren't like monitoring you walking around your living room at 2 a.m. one night and overheard you. But it is... it is one of those things where, you know, when you get the boulder moving forward, the universe typically will put its hands on the boulder and help you push it.
100%.
With these ideas, right?
Absolutely. It's been such an amazing thing to watch when I have an idea and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then it just unfolds. Like, I don't even have to do the work. These people, they just come into my life and I'm like, wow. That's amazing. Like, I must be on doing something right here.
Yeah, maybe I should. This is what I should do. I should just sit around and come up with ideas.
Yes,
and other people can really put them into motion. I think, you know, it is great to think about communities and people who aren't exposed to this getting access. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for me to forget that not everybody's a total weirdo.
I know.
Because of the people I run around with. I've been running around with comedians who have been living outside the structure of normal society for so long, and, you know, other paranormal weirdos and, you know, mystical weirdos. So it's like, it's so easy to forget what it's like to be like...
a muggle.
Yes, exactly. And it's nice... to hear that there are opportunities arising through Love Shack, mm-hmm. for muggles to be exposed for to real. The magic. And who doesn't like this stuff, right? I mean, now granted, it's not for everybody. We'll say that, fine. But who doesn't want to sit around, or who wouldn't want to see an alien or feel a profound emotion and feeling and sensation during someone hitting a bowl with a crystal stick, or you know what I mean, and then be like, it was all bullshit until, and the next thing you know, I'm crying, you know, and it's like,
yeah, that's the reaction I normally get. Like, and I bring this into my therapeutic work at the recovery center, and I've had some clients, you know, they just come off the streets, they're addicted to heroin and meth, and they're like, what the you know, frick are you doing here with these bowls? And I had this client, and he would call them my buckets, and he'd be like, please don't play them buckets, they're too loud. But most people have that same reaction. They're like, oh, I see. Like, now I know, because now they feel it. And so that's kind of why I do this stuff in the community, so that people can experience it for themselves. Because, like, I don't want to have to say anything. I just do it. And it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I know that from personal experience in the past that, like, when you're doing large amounts of drugs, your body is out of whack. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. You do not have, I guess, homeostasis or balance inside of your body or your emotions or anything mm-hmm. like that. And it, you know, it could be pretty jarring.
Sensory overload.
Yeah. So it occurs to me, like, very early on in tonight's session, I was, I saw myself, because after I said something about, like, oh, and then I hit the crystal thing with it, and I cried. I was like, okay, yeah, I almost did cry earlier. Mm-hmm. I it's hard to explain, but you know how turtle shells are actually just like a bunch of tiny pieces? If anyone's ever seen like a turtle shell, a turtle shed its shell, it comes off in like little pieces, like almost a bunch of, it's like a bunch of tiny shields that are kind of connected together and they overlap almost like shingles of a roof, right? Mm. And in this moment, while I was, you know, on the table, I saw myself, but I saw myself in like pieces, right? Where like my outer shell was a bunch of tinier shell pieces that mm-hmm. were all kind of connected to one another. And there was a moment where like my intention was to, I set the intention tonight to feel safe and to release fear. That was my intention. And just in life in general, and in my personal life and my professional life. And during that, after setting that intention, I was overcome with, it was one of the sounds, I don't remember specifically which one, and it was a safety sound, right? A feeling mm-hmm. to where it was like, okay, you can truly be yourself and you don't have to be afraid of that. And pieces of my face were falling off.
Wow.
If that makes, and then yeah. light was shining through. So what was happening was my shell, which I thought was protecting me, was actually trapping, you know, the endless and limitless light of my being.
That's a really big realization. Damn, that's awesome.
It was really cool visual.
Oh, sounds
cool. You know, as piece by piece of my face and my body was falling off, and then just another, like, you know, when the sun is coming through a hole in a cloud.
Yeah.
Like that was shining, and then boom, boom, and then until it just became, now you're just part of everything. There's no separation between you and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just
that's
light.
Beautiful.
So it was really cool. But that's the close. That's like I was emotional during that moment for sure. And I was, and then I remember, I think I didn't get to crying because I had the thought, oh, I don't want to cry in her mask.
Aww.
I was like, I don't want to get the mask wet. But anyway,
I recycle them. I have a whole bunch.
Oh, okay.
I put the tears over on the side.
Well, this has been a really great night. Thank you again for the cosmic healing. I want to make sure that people understand how they can get in touch with you easily and you know, how they go about that.
Okay, so Wellspring Healing Studio is the name of my business, and you can find me on Facebook. You can also go to wellspringartsandretreats.com, and you can connect with me in that way. I'm not a huge, like, other social media person. That's enough for me. Mm-hmm. So typically Facebook is where I put all of my events, and you can contact me that way.
Now, people might want to know if you do remote.
I can, but I'm not a big fan. I'm not, just you lose something through the technology. But I can do therapy and consultations, but I prefer one-on-one. I do travel to, you know, to the other people that have some people that can't get out of their house or that are physically disabled. But I do prefer that personal exchange.
So if you're anywhere close or traveling through the Southern Ohio area at any given time, for the in-person or to travel here and have it done, I couldn't recommend it enough. And also, we were downstairs earlier talking about the potential podcast studio.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I haven't done an episode since like May. My life's been crazy, so I need to get back to it. But I do have several out there, probably like 24, I think. And it's Galactic Gravy is the name of it.
Which is a great name.
Thank you. And of course, it's an alien like holding a bowl of galactic gravy. I'll just show you that. But yeah, so you can find that just about on every streaming platform.
Galactic Gravy.
Galactic Gravy.
That's awesome. Well, Misty, this has been fun.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, well,
it.
I really appreciate you making me not feel so lopsided.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not a lumpy pancake.
I'm not a lumpy pancake. And thank you for listening to all of you out there who are listening. And by the time this comes out, I've probably already been at Wiley's, which was on the 9th and 10th of December. But if not, 9th and 10th of December at Wiley's Comedy Club, Dayton, Ohio. And then Mason City, Illinois for New Year's Eve weekend, Friday and Saturday. MClimits.com for tickets and information about that. And then I'll be back on the West Coast come 2023 after the long, cold winter here in the Midwest. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was so cold last night that, I mean, it was like 29 degrees, right? Which is, you know, people in Minneapolis are like, oh, what? You mean spring? But it was, I had a rough time last night.
Bone chilling, huh?
It was, or maybe it was two nights ago. I had to go buy a steamer for some shirts. And I went at like 9:30 at night to go to the store. And I walked outside and I was like, oh my God, I don't need the steamer.
You need to steam
myself. Yeah, I need to steam myself. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And so patreon.com/Ryan Singer, thank you. Crystallize app is coming up on 1 year as being an app that is available on your phone. Thank you to everyone who's downloaded it already. If not, it's a free download. Give it a check. Early next year, we are going to be identifying 300 crystals. That is going to be triple the size of crystals we identify as it stands now. So I will keep you posted about that. And anyway, thank you. I hope to see you at a live show. And if not, I guess we'll just see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.